I forgot to turn it on back there. Tried to do it up here. Well, I'll tell you what, those were some exciting games, weren't they? Honestly, did not pick TCU to beat Michigan. But them Horned Frogs, when they quit calling them Horny Toads? Well, I don't know. That's all I ever heard were Texas Horny Toads. But it probably did. Although, not everybody's 11 like me, so. Oh, but goodness, what some games. Praise God. Well, this morning, like I said, we do have war on the floor. And we're going to pray. We're going to believe God's going to do some things in people's lives. And, folks, you know, I know a lot of people say we don't see the effects of praying for some of this stuff. You need to read the paper. Don't listen to the news, listen, that everybody else wants to tell you. All they want you to focus on is Ukraine, Biden, whatever's going on in the swamp, and anything to get you wound up. The last time after we prayed for for our last war on the floor, and we prayed against the drug trafficking trade, $1.3 million in cocaine was taken off of the street in one shot. It was in the trunk of a car that a state patrolman pulled over, and he observed some nervousness, justifiably. And so they brought in a drug dog, and the drug dog pinged it. 1.3 in cocaine. Don't think God doesn't listen. Because that is exactly what we pray, isn't it? Lord, help the troopers to catch on. They have picked up children who have been stolen. And Cheryl was telling us the story of the little baby that was taken, or the two babies, and then the one that ended up in Dayton, or in Indianapolis. I didn't hear the rest of the story, I just heard the baby's back. But that somebody else tracked this baby down and looked for this car and found this car at a restaurant. Possibly, I think it was a pizza place. Covered in snow, and the baby's in the back seat. Don't think your prayers are going unanswered. I do remember the night that one came in, because I was sitting there just looking at junk on Marketplace. And it's like, I'll get sleepy here in a minute. And about the time, I threw my phone. My wife sits straight up in her bed, looks at me. I'm like, it's an Amber Alert. I don't know. But I couldn't find what it was, so I just started praying. You don't need to know all the time. Just start praying. You don't need to know who's in the helicopter being life-flighted. Start praying. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to believe. You know, we're people of faith. Everybody's supposed to be a person of faith. And I'm not talking about, well, I can call in a jet, or I can call in a Mercedes or a mansion. No, that's not what we're talking about. Calling forth the will of God is what we're supposed to do. So our words have some weight. I've always told Angela, I said, what do you believe in? She said, I'm believing for this. She just always used to say, I'm believing for an SUV, right? This is the one I said, well, what do you want? She's like, I don't care, God knows. I said, no, he gave you that option. What do you want? So she finally began to list what she wanted. And God led me to what she wanted. Otherwise, I wasn't looking. When you tell God what it is you want, well, he knows what I want. He wants you to speak it. I want my children saved. Then you keep speaking that. But guess what? Faith without works is dead. We can say, well, I have all the faith. And James said, where's your works? Well, that's not what faith is about. Yes, it is. And by the way, he's not necessarily talking about your works to exercise that. Well, where's the works to that? What do you mean? He's talking about the works of what true religion is. Caring for the orphaned, the widows, those who can't. That's what the Bible says true religion is. True religion isn't coming in here on Sunday singing a couple. We sang 7 songs today. Singing a few songs. But that's all right. I would rather you come in here and praise the Lord for an hour. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, I had to come in for an hour. Anybody ever been to a TSO show? They have intermission. I love them. I'm going back next year. Been a couple years. But they're long. Oh, yeah, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, by the way. And if you do not like hairband music, don't go. But it's pretty good. But God expects us to be doing what he told us to do. Caring for one another, loving one for one another, praying for one another. Here. See, traditional religion teaches that that's the pastor's job. There's been some things that's happened. I'm like, nobody told me. I didn't know. So if nobody tells me, I don't know. But when somebody says, so-and-so is sick and I prayed for him, outstanding. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I do like to be kept in the loop just so I know what's going on. I was talking with somebody the other day, and particularly with boys. We were just talking about how boys are different than girls when they get older. See, what we've learned is boys do cleave unto their wives. The Bible says that's going to happen. But the daughters seem to hang around. They go back to see mom and dad and all this stuff more often. And then I realized, dang, I did it. I created boys who became men who don't need me. That's good on one hand. The other hand is, hey, most of them call her. Not a big deal. As long as she remembers to relay stuff to me. But see, we're supposed to be able to do it. I didn't look at that as, oh man, boo hoo hoo. Yeah, it's a little kick in the seat. But on the other hand, I'm proud. That to know that no matter what comes their way, they can stand. And that's what I have to look around and hear. Some of you have been through hell this year, and that's putting it mildly. The devil has tried to tear families apart. And you're still standing. You're still fighting. Do you know what I really liked about that OSU game last night? It was heartbreaking, I ain't gonna lie. I feel for that kicker. All I can see is the whole Ace Ventura thing. Laces out, you know. No. It wasn't that, but I feel for him. But they kept fighting. They did not play this game like they did their last game. They kept fighting. And when they had time down, boom, 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 boom. holy moly, you just got a touchdown before the half and took the lead back and still left them time to get on the field. That's what we're supposed to be. We keep fighting. Well, I'm on my back. Well, you know nobody can get behind you, right? You got to look at it the correct way. Oh, I got knocked down. I'm on my back. Great. Nobody can get behind me. I can see everybody now. Oh, Pastor, that doesn't work. You know, that's just a bunch of bunk. Well, you probably have because of me. There was an Army, he was a colonel at the time, Colonel Lewis B. Puller, U.S. Marines, 1st Marine Division, Chosin Reservoir, Chesty. Most decorated Marine in our history because of the number of Purple Hearts, silver medals, bronze medals. I don't know that he ever got the CMH. But the man knew combat. And in the Chosin Reservoir, if you know anything about that, that was a no-win situation in which higher-ups, sitting back somewhere else in their cozy little warm offices, didn't believe the reports on the ground. We're surrounded by 100,000 Chinese. There's no Chinese in the area. Well, when they came in and started picking up bodies, they found out, oh, there's a bunch of Chinese. But they surrounded them. They were surrounded by 100. We're only talking about 12,000 U.S. troops, Army and Marines, surrounded by 100,000 Chinese. And Chesty Puller, before they really got crazy with things, he said, well, they're in front of us, they're to our flanks, and they're to our rear. We know where they're at. They can't get away this time. Sounds kind of cocky, doesn't it? The Chinese aren't known for winning that fight. Even though the Marines and Army had to pull back, they fought the whole way. That actually was not part of the message today. But it's to the point where our words, you know, we grow up and eventually we learn words are cheap, aren't they? Oh, yeah, I love you. That was something I kept hearing yesterday about the Ohio State fan base. How quick the fan base turned on Ohio State. Losing one stupid game. Now, mind you, of all the games to lose, that was not the one. What that does show is how bad our hatred is for Michigan and how stupid we are for it. You know what? And that bled over. And I never knew why. I mean, up till a couple years ago, the furthest I'd ever been into Michigan was Detroit. Ladies and gentlemen, do not base Michigan on Detroit. Go watch RoboCop and you'll understand what I'm talking about if you've not been there. But that's as far as I'd ever been. I'm like, who would ever want to come to Michigan and vacation? Well, then some friends of ours bought a house in Ludington and you go out there and there's a Caribbean blue lake. It's ice cold, but... And you got sand dunes, peach trees, cherry trees, as far as the eye can see. 75 plus speed limit in certain areas. It's awesome. But we built our hatred on that. And y'all do remember where it came from, right? Toledo. I never knew that for the longest time. This whole stupid thing started over Toledo. Y'all been to Toledo? It's Detroit, just on this side of the state line. I've never been a fan of it. I got friends that live up there. They ended up getting the UP because of that. I th- think they got the better end of the deal sometimes. Because we turned it over to gangs, hoodlums. And that's what's happened to Detroit. But anyhow, let's get back. I'm digressing. Our words can be cheap. Well, I say what I mean. Well, that's good. What do you mean? What do you stand for? You know, in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus is talking to his people, not his disciples, the Jews, the Pharisees, Sadducees. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work in today in my vineyard." Sounds acceptable, right? Typically, especially back then, the children worked the family business. He answered and said, "I will not." Anybody ever, a kid tells you that about that time, you're just, you got to get saved all over again, right? But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir." But he did not go. "Sure thing, Pop, I'll do it." But he didn't do it. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you do." Because they were the ones that said no. And then they realized how good God is. And the Jews were the ones that said, "Oh yeah, we'll do it, we'll do it." And they never did do what they were supposed to do. Jesus taught us that words can be cheap. We can say lots of things, but we never act on them. So many people say, "Well, I want the homeless. Want to help the homeless. Let's help the homeless." Great. Start. What are you going to do? "Well, I don't know." Well, Faith Mission in Columbus. We've been down there a couple times. I look back and, you know, these guys were in the youth group. Now they got their own families. But it was fun. I thought it was fun. You know, and we even went and fed. The one we packed Christmas gifts. The other one we went and we fed them over on Long Street. Not exactly the good part of Columbus. I had a blast because we were doing the things of God. Just because we haven't been there for a while doesn't mean you can't go. "Well, God, I want to help this. I want to help women who are abused. There are shelters all around us. Go help. Go do something. Quit saying, 'I will.' Do it. Do the will of God. Religion isn't this. True religion is that. Helping those who can't." Nobody said you got to live with them. You go help. You do what you can do. Doesn't have to become your lifestyle. You know, just because we went down and helped the homeless, I didn't start dressing homeless. Even though some of you might think I do from time to time. You know, we've gone down and we helped people in Appalachia. "Well, I don't see where that's helping us." Yeah, never mind the fact that here we do support the local garage that helps people who can't afford to fix their cars. We help support the clothing closets that help give children who can't afford new school clothes some dignity. We help the food pantries locally. We help the prison ministries that are ministering to people in Marion. God hasn't called me to do that, but he has called me to be able to do that. And I got the opportunity to talk to the guy the other day, and I told him, I said, "Yeah, I happen to know somebody who's in there right now for attempted murder." And I said, "I'm not going over there because I don't need to. For me right now, it's a protection thing, and two, I'm not called to do that." I said, but I'm helping you so that you can tell him about the real Jesus. See, if we keep saying, yeah, God, I'm going to do this, and we never do it, what are we? We're liars, aren't we? You don't have to go out and change the world. You have to change the world for one person. See, that's what gets people stopped up. They think, oh, if I can't go out and I can't feed thousands of people, then I'm not ministering. Ministering to one child. That's why Jesus said, if you give this person a drink of water in my name, you will by no means lose your inheritance. Jesus said to people that say, yeah, I'll do it and don't do it, will not see the kingdom of heaven. They won't inherit it. Because words can be cheap, but our actions prove our faith. So if you're saying, well, why? I keep believing, I keep saying this, I keep believing, I'm believing, believing, believing. What are you doing about your belief? What are you doing? You know what? Back in the, I believe it was the early 80s, when Amy Grant first cut her first album, she did a song called Fat, Fat, Fat Baby. You ought to hear it. I heard it on the radio one day. It was hilarious. Got the biggest King James you've ever seen. Memorize John 3:16. You know every Bible book of the Bible. But you don't do anything. I love watching these World's Strongest Men and Women competitions. Man, you ever see some of this stuff, folks? Anybody else besides me ever watch them? Okay. Y'all ever notice anything familiar or anything about their body types? They aren't the ones that have been up on stage. Oh, yeah. That's not them. Most of them got a little bit of a gut. You go up there like, how are you going to bend over and stand back up with that? This guy bends over, grabs a boulder that weighs 400 pounds, stands up and puts it on a pedestal, and then goes to the next one that's bigger. Or they'll grab telephone poles from the bottom and launch them. This stuff is insane. Pound for pound, they're stronger, though, than the guys that are up on stage with all the ads all over them. Come try our stuff. No, I want the stuff that that dude's eating. Because his muscles won't blow out. And then you get the guys that think, oh, this is what it's all about. Look at my arms. And since I know you've seen the videos, you've probably seen this guy, too. The little hoo-yah who went and had this crap inflated in his biceps. Anybody else seen him? You gotta Google. He's built like me, but he's got biceps like this. Anybody else seen the slap contest? Oh, dude. I would duck. I'm sorry. I don't take blows to the head well. They got this one guy. I mean, he is a behemoth of a man. He's got hands like this. And I've seen him knock people just about unconscious. And if you don't know what a slap contest is, it is exactly what I said. They chalk up, they stand in front of a table, they hold their hand right there. And then they get around here. And I've seen a couple of them, if you watch, they lean. So they get their ear, that's why they're knocking them out. But they're supposed to hit them straight on up the side of the face. And they hit this guy. This guy thought those big fake muscles were going to do him some good. Knocked him on his butt. See, these are words. Those were actions. They were real. They could back up what they said. The fake muscles are just useless words. God, I wish you would move in my family. Are you really loving your family? Unconditionally. That's the hard part. See, we see all these signs running around right now that say love one another. It's the absolute truth. It's unconditional love. It's agape love. It is unconditional. It does not matter. You're supposed to love people, not hate them. You don't agree with the lifestyle that the Bible says is wrong? Pray for them. By the way, there's so many other lifestyles too that are sitting on the front rows of the church. Not. Yeah, absolutely. Richard looks over and says, oh, man. But in churches across America, the front rows are filled with adultery. They're filled with greed, lust, envy, hatred. Why? Because we're only focused on one thing. And we're like, oh, well, you know, that's natural. Listen, none of it's natural. We weren't called to be greedy. Man, I'd love to go back to a life where all I had to do was go out and pull a peach off the tree, walk down to the river, dangle my toes in it, not worry that a crocodile is going to eat me. See, that world, animals weren't afraid of us because we didn't kill them and eat them. That happened after the flood and was happening before. But God cleared it after the flood. Our actions have got to back. If we say we love people, we have to love them unconditionally. I had somebody ask me that the other day. What's your stance on LGBTQ?